Welcome to Season 2 of Sorting Pen, the California Cattlemen's Podcast. Every day, the California Cattlemen's Association is sorting through the issues impacting California's ranching families and producers. To communicate those issues, discuss solutions, and keep ranchers current on the hot topics, CCA leadership developed this podcast. Well, welcome back to another episode of Sorting Pen. We're off to the races in 2022. January's behind us. If you're an NFL fan, you've probably enjoyed a few weekends of some crazy football games. Red Bluff has come and gone. We now know from our groundhog friend that we have 6 more weeks of winter, which will hopefully bring some more snowpack to the Sierras and help us out throughout California that's still in drought condition even after a good December. And then finally today, we're wrapping up at the last day of the Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA trade show. Coming to Houston, there's been a host of different issues discussed, from climate to fake meat, of course, all the way in between. But I think it'd be easy to argue probably not one was more anticipated or even maybe prepared for than yesterday's live cattle marketing meeting. It was a standing room only meeting, and I think a lot of eyes were on that meeting. So we wanted to talk about that meeting today and just give producers who weren't able to be in Houston some background on the meeting, tell them what happened in the meeting. To join me in doing that, I have our president here, Tony Toso.
Good morning, Katie. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. It's good to see you in Houston.
Yes.
I'm happy to be here with you. So to start, Tony, I think we could come at this from about 30 different angles, maybe more. But I wanted to talk about, like I said, what happened yesterday and really provide an explanation. And if you weren't in the room, what is the policy that was approved by the committee?
So the nutshell is the Live Cattle Marketing Committee voted to not support any form of cash mandate. So basically what that is there's an existing bill out there, the Fisher-Grassley bill, that has a component in there for mandated cash trade. And we took the position that we were not in favor of that. California did support not being in favor of cash mandates. A lot of discussion happened yesterday. It was a good discussion. A lot of good points were taken in. It was a standing room only crowd. When we started the discussion, Tanner Beamer, who is staff liaison to the committee, made a point of saying, you know, all the eyes of Washington are upon you. So
yeah, which might have seemed dramatic at the time, but
yeah, it was
an important point.
It was an important point, and it brought home the, I guess, the thought that what we're doing affects the industry, and it's a very serious endeavor. It affects all of us that are in the cattle industry, and I know our California contingent took that very seriously. We were well represented there, and we did a lot of preparation for that.
We were, as California, well represented there, as were a lot of the states. Just at the front of the room in the voting section, I think there was 8 representatives from CCA, probably at least over a dozen California producers in the room. It took, like you said, a lot of preparation to get to that point. This has been a long time coming, lots of conference calls, lots of meetings. I think it kind of kicked off with that summer business meeting in 2020 back in Denver, where was it, a 6-hour meeting?
Yeah, the marathon 6-hour meeting in Denver.
So we've improved. Yesterday's meeting was a little under 2 hours. Coming to this meeting, knowing you had to be prepared, you wanted to represent all of California, what was CCA's approach in doing that?
Back when I became president, we formed the Price Discovery Subcommittee, and Seth Scribner has chaired that committee and done a masterful job of organizing and moving that committee forward, bringing the right information to the table. And he also participated in an NCBA working group that was pertinent to this issue. We had one of our players in the game in how we came about doing this. When, I guess it would have been about January, somewhere in that time frame of 2021, we got together a group, cross-section of some very, very good, high-quality, credible people that gave their time to get involved in this particular issue. And one of our goals was to try and help each other understand the different segments of the industry, from the cow-calf producer to the retailer. And so we spent many hours discussing what issues within the price discovery, market transparency issues where we felt there were problems. We looked at different economists' reports. When we were at convention, we brought in Daryl Peel and Rob Johnson, and Seth participated in a panel discussion. So we went in all types of different good directions to gather information. This was not taken lightly. There was a lot of dedication to it and a lot of study. A lot of studies gone on in this issue. So we did our best with a goal in mind that if this day came, we would be as prepared as possible to try and tackle this issue. We felt like we wanted to eliminate as much emotion, because it is an emotional subject. For sure. And there's a lot of frustration out there in the country, and we understand it. We supported not going toward a cash mandate. That's the position we took, but we did it with analysis. We did it with preparation. We did it trying to reason and logistically apply what we learned into those decisions. We didn't do it haphazardly. That was a big part of all the discussions that we had throughout the year as we came closer to convention time and understanding that this was going to be a pretty significant issue. Seth convened our subcommittee, discussed it, put together the resolution that we did put together with California, again, not supporting a cash mandate. We took it to executive committee to make sure that the executive board was on board with us with what we were doing. And we unanimously approved that. Everybody was focused on what is going to be best. That level, I mean, we have government intrusion in our daily lives. We pay our taxes. We drive on the right-hand side of the road. But it's a bridge too far to have Congress come in and tell you how much cash trade or any other type of trade that you're going to do in your business. We just felt, after study, after diligence, we could not get past the fact that's just a bridge too far. Another point that was brought up to me that was a really good one is, if you go to allow a legislative body like Congress to take your issue and you give up the control of that issue for them to put into place a cash mandate or any other mandate, any other legislation, you're going to lose control of that issue. And it's going to go before people that may not care at all about what happens to the cattle industry. We did not want to take that risk. This was very, very serious to us. We did not want to put that type of control into the hands that people that do not have the best interests of the beef industry in their hands.
Yeah, and I think you expressed that yesterday. Seth presented our amendment, but you also got up and said exactly that. Coming from California, we have a lot of regulations. And I think in my mind, that spoke credibly. Coming from a state, we are regulated. You got up, Kevin Kester got up. Yes. So I think just as important maybe as the game plan was what went into the game plan. Like you said, this wasn't just done overnight.
Those of us that are in the ranching community, we understand ranching. We understand what it takes to do what we do. But we don't know as much about what happens in the feedlot or the packing plant or at the grocery counter. So that's part of what we were trying to do there, is to understand that and understand why we had the thoughts that we did, and try to get past that so we could make a decision that was well thought out and not emotion-based. That was a lot of the preparation. Now, when Kevin spoke, he spoke from a rancher's perspective. He articulated why he felt this wasn't in the best interest of cattle ranchers, because, you know, when we were looking, for example, at economic studies done on the subject, we really couldn't find anything that supported more dollars coming back to the ranch. But we did find evidence via studies that it would cost the producer money. And some of the studies that I happened to look at, like Stephen Kuntz or from Dr. Peel, that could tap us $25 to $75 a head, depending upon the situation you're in. You know, because it's not just as easy as telling someone you're going to do this and then we're going to have sunshine and rainbows. It's not that easy.
So at the end of this episode, we're going to hear from NCBA's Director of Government Affairs and Market Regulatory Affairs, Tanner Beamer. who obviously was in the meeting. This is kind of his baby of an issue. We're going to talk to him about how NCBA ran the meeting and kind of what the process has looked like to set the stage for that and what's next for them as far as policy. But as far as what's next for CCA on this, like you mentioned, Seth was part of NCBA's working group. Yeah. I don't know how many hours Seth has put into that.
I think they were doing like weekly discussions there when they first got out of the gate. So it was not.
I have a feeling Scribner Livestock and his family is going to be very happy to have him back.
Yeah, I'm thinking so.
But I just wanted to thank Seth for his leadership on that and with the Price Discovery Committee. Moving forward, what will CCA be working on in this issue? Cattle marketing is an issue, like we've said, has been around for 100 years plus. We're not done with this.
You bet. That's a great question, Katie, because, you know, we've got this as far as how we have, I guess, voted on policy for NCBA. That's behind us now. But we have to move forward. And we have to move forward. Price discovery and what's happening in these markets, like you mentioned, it's gone on for 100 years plus. And it's not an issue that's going to get solved today. It's going to be something we're going to work on for a long time. And I know Steve Arnold, who will follow me, is committed to the issue. I know our ranchers, our producers are very concerned about the issue. And we have people out there in California that did support the mandate. That's okay. And what we have to do to move forward is still remember that this happened yesterday and everybody voted with the best interests, whether you were for or against. Now it's time to move forward and take ideas, take suggestions, take whatever we can do to work together, whether you were for or against, to try to make a better day and get more dollars back to the ranch. And I'm committed to doing that. I don't hold any feelings one way or the other. I just wanted to see us go in there and make a good call and do what we felt and what we studied for would be the best result. So if you are listening to this and you weren't in support of the position we took as an association, I hope you will understand that we never took this lightly. We did it with best intentions. We studied it. And we still want, even those that disagreed with what we did, to be a part of the solution for the future because we're committed to moving forward. I don't want to sit around and dwell on what's happened. I want to make a better day with all of our help. This is something that we all do together. And I'm hopeful that we can come together and put good policy, good solutions, good business practices out there that will create that level playing field for all producers in this country, as well as our fellow California producers.
Like I said, there's no shortage of issues that we've talked about this week, but specifically on cattle marketing, that's going to be critical moving forward, is to continue to learn about it, educate, and move forward, I think.
Absolutely. It's our payday, and it's a very serious thing.
Well, we're moving forward, hopefully trying to get out of Texas. There is a large storm coming, but we will be on the road shortly. We have a busy tour meeting scheduled in February. We'll be at the Butte Red Meat Cattlemen's Dinner. We'll be up at Humble. A few of us between CCA staff and officers will be there. So we look forward to answering more questions about what was discussed here in Houston, just not on markets, but on any issue you have a question about. And in the meantime, I think I'd speak for the all officer team as if you do have a question, please don't feel hesitant to reach out and ask. Our officer team wants to engage with you. They want to be involved at the local level. So please feel free to call the office and we can put you in touch with someone. Other than that, Tony?
I think you wrapped that very well, Katie. So thanks for the opportunity to talk about what we did down here in Houston. And like you said, anybody has any questions, we're more than happy to try and answer.
Don't turn the episode off yet. We've got more. Tanner Beamer joins me in Houston to talk about how NCBA ran this meeting and all of the policy committee meetings, what the process looked like to set the stage for the live cattle marketing meeting in Houston, and what happens next for NCBA on the live cattle marketing issue. Well, thanks for joining us for the second half of this podcast episode. I'm here now with Tanner from NCBA. Welcome, Tanner.
Thank you, Katie.
Thanks for coming on our podcast. For those that don't know you and aren't here in Houston, would you mind just giving them a little bit of background on what you do and your role with NCBA?
Yeah, you bet. So I am the Director of Government Affairs and Market Regulatory Policy out of our Washington, D.C. office, which basically means I'm one of eight lobbyists, and my issues that I work on are related to cattle market issues. And I also staff the live cattle marketing committee as part of that assignment.
And that one specifically has been keeping you pretty busy.
Yeah, it has. Ever since about July of 2020 at the summer business meeting, which was only about 2 months after I took over this portfolio. I was previously with the Public Lands Council prior to that, so it was a bit of a transition, but we've been off to the races ever since.
Tony and I talked this morning about what we did yesterday in that meeting, but I wanted to get your just point of view from NCBA's standpoint of how that meeting runs and how it's set up, and just for anyone that wasn't there able to see in the room.
Yeah, so our policy committees, you know, we have several of them, and they each oversee kind of a different theme area. So for live cattle marketing, it runs just the same as the other policy committee meetings do. Cattle producers representing state affiliates carry votes to the meeting. They discuss the policy priorities that are going on. The resolutions actually that we vote on come from our state affiliates. So they, and oftentimes those begin at the county cattle level, which I always think is really interesting because I'll give you one example just very briefly. The product of the USA issue that has been a highlight of our policy priorities in Washington, D.C. You know, that's a label that's generically approved by the Food Safety and Inspection Service, and it can be applied to retail beef products. The problem is that not everything labeled product of the USA necessarily was a product of the USA.
Yeah.
Inspected product can bear that label so long as it was inspected through an FSIS facility. So that was an issue that was raised by a county association in Oregon. And the Oregon Cattlemen's Association adopted policy and then sent it up to NCBA, where we also put together a working group to explore it and then came out with really rock solid policy on that. And you're seeing this administration respond to that. And that's how the policy process works. The committee is the first step into NCBA's policymaking process. So that's kind of how the meeting goes. And the votes are distributed amongst our state and breed affiliates and our allied industry partners and a bunch of else. But it is only cattle producers that show up to cast those votes.
Mentioned a working group for Product of the USA. I know this committee also had a working group, and you guys spent a vast amount of time, which I kind of talked about with Tony. Seth Scribner was on that committee. What was it like being a part of that working group?
You know, that was an interesting working group because I've had several working groups in the last couple of years examining a bunch of different areas on markets, from transparency issues, information reporting, price discovery, you name it. And Seth actually served on what we called the Market Information Transparency and Reporting Working Group. And what we were exploring there were six different areas that the working group was actually put together by a policy of NCBA that was adopted during our Nashville convention last year. And they were charged with providing recommendations back to the Live Cattle Marketing Committee on ways that we could improve transparency through existing programs like LMR, new things that we can do, like the Cattle Contract Library, and more research that's needed on issues like captive supply and the relationship between processing capacity and market leverage back to the cattle producers. So that working group, I cannot give enough credit to the individuals that sat on that. They were given a very short window to explore a lot of really, really deep, nuanced policy issues. And they stepped up. Seth actually led one of our small groups in that working group to talk about packers and stockyards. And that was one of the things that they recommended was that the Cattle Contract Library, which would probably go over to the Packers and Stockyards Division at USDA because that's where the Swine Contract Library is, they explored that a little further and said, we actually think that would be better in the Market News Division because they're the ones that implement livestock mandatory reporting and they know how to aggregate data and disseminate it in a way that passes muster with confidentiality. A lot of the recommendations made by that working group were actually adopted as policy that came from the various states throughout that live cattle marketing committee meeting. Those working group processes are really a valuable tool for us. They do take a lot of time, but I think that the discussion that is had is very eye-opening because producers get to see how people from other parts of the country or other segments of the industry might be doing things on their operation and how their perspective might be informed by some unique situation that they have. So it is very worthwhile to go through those processes.
So yesterday, what was decided in that committee? How's that going to impact current legislation that's out there related to cattle markets?
You know, I think the biggest thing that happened in that meeting, of course, the headline was adopting the policy that said that we will pursue legislative and regulatory solutions to improve price discovery, but we will oppose cash market mandates and any other sort of legislative proposal or policy prescription that would limit a cattle producer's ability to market cattle in the way that they see fit and works best for their individual business models. And I think that, you know, it's important to clarify or maybe reiterate that that is not a change in policy. We have have had that similar policy and still do on the books that has not allowed us to support these types of mandatory cash trade type proposals that have been floating around in Washington, D.C. for as long as 20 years. And so that policy didn't change anything, but it gave us very clear direction. I think the big looming question that nobody really wanted to touch on specifically was the Fisher-Grassley Cattle Price Discovery and Transparency Act. So that piece of legislation obviously has a lot of things NCBA can support in it, things like a contract library, things like confidentiality fixes, next day carcass weight reporting, 14-day delivery window extension on committed cattle, a lot of things that we can be very supportive of. But it also contains regional mandatory minimums for cash trade, and that is not something that we can support. So what I'm hoping for in the aftermath of this meeting is that lawmakers on the Hill will see the momentum behind all these other legislative proposals, but it will be made very, very clear that this organization is not going to support anything that is a mandate or requires government intervention into how cattle producers market their animals.
Sure. So with that hopefully becoming clear, what is the next step for cattle markets?
You know, we're probably going to keep our attentions where they have been for a long time. We are very aggressively advocating that contract library. We've seen very good momentum getting it through the House of Representatives in a very timely fashion and by a very wide margin of the vote. Out of 435 members of Congress, or the House of Representatives rather, only 14, I think, voted against a contract library. And realistically, that's probably more a party line basis than it is the actual substance of the bill. So I think that we're going to continue to advocate for those policies that we have very clear direction on from our members. But we also need to continue to make it very clear that this industry is not interested in pursuing some sort of a government mandate on cash market transactions.
Okay, we can stop talking about cattle markets. I know that you guys do a lot of other things. There was a DC issues update, which is always great. And we heard from the A team, B team, the C team. A team is animal health, B team is business, and C is climate. So just quickly, before we wrap up, what are two or three other issues that were talked about this week that you think are pretty up there for producers to know about, and where can they go to learn more about them and everything that was really talked about at this meeting?
You know, climate change and climate policy continues to dominate literally every conversation that we have in Washington, D.C., in this administration, in this leadership makeup of the congressional chambers. I think that that's going to continue to be front and center for a long time. Luckily, we have a very good story to tell on that front.
Yeah.
And we're proactively taking steps to demonstrate that to the American consumer and to policymakers in Washington, D.C. The C team handles that very aggressively. I think the other thing that I would talk about is labor. That impacts packing plant throughputs, which also has an impact on cattle prices. That impacts our producers' ability to get the job done that they need to get done on their operations, whether it's a feedlot or a stocker operation. It doesn't really matter. Labor is a problem for just about everybody. And then just kind of to round it out, I guess, for the A team, B team, C team thing, coming back to the B team and a non-markets related priority and thing, I think that it cannot be overstated the victories that we won during the discussions of Build Back Better to prevent and stop harmful tax policies from being implemented. When President Biden was elected and took over in January of 2021, and Speaker Pelosi came in and Chuck Schumer became the majority leader of the Senate, they thought that they were going to be able to pay for some of these programs that the president had campaigned on by altering the tax code. And a lot of the proposals they were looking at changing, things like 1031 like-kind exchanges, the step-up in basis, capital gains taxes, that would have been very, very harmful to our members. I mean, it is very difficult to have a tax burden in an environment where you may be asset rich, but you're cash poor. And so that was something that we were very pleased to not only see lead the charge on for agriculture, but really for small business, the whole small business lobby in Washington, D.C. to kill those tax provisions that would have been absolutely detrimental to cattle producers as well as small businesses.
Yeah, I know you and Danielle Buck and probably the whole team in D.C. have been working on that extremely hard.
Yeah, Danielle gets the credit on that one. Every once in a while, she'll tap us on the shoulder and say that she needs us to assist her with something. But she is the lead on that issue, and she has done a phenomenal job, as has been said at NCBA convention all week long. So,
well, we thank you all for your just efforts in D.C. on behalf of California producers. I thank you. It's been a great week. I think there are a lot of issues out there, but a lot of opportunities is what we've kind of been hearing this week. It was a pleasure catching up with you, and hopefully we'll see you out in California sometime soon.
Oh, I would love that. Anytime I can get back there is always a good time.
Perfect. Thank you, Tanner.
Thanks, Katie.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sorting Pen from Houston. We will be back in 2 weeks with an episode from Hannah at the Animal Ag Alliance. Hannah caught up with me this morning to talk about some of the trends in animal activism in California and what the Ag Alliance does on behalf of producers all throughout the U.S. So tune into that in 2 weeks. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.